Man, it's always so good to see you guys here in your place. Such an encouragement to my heart. Good to have the Rudds back. They were sick last week, and of course, it's always glad to have Larry and Karen back whenever they can, and such a blessing. Also have a gentleman, Ed Mayfield, with us. Glad to have him. And looking over here, I think that's it. Good to have all the rest of you. Always is. We are going to use both handout part number 4 and handout part number 5. So I hope that you can pull your part 4 out from last week. As you know, we have been in a study of 1 John, and what we're finding from the Apostle John as he writes this letter is that the family of God is so very, very much important in the life of the believer. Up till this point, we've been focused on our relationship with the Father. I hope that has been special to your heart as we've heard the love that we should have to our Father. Today, and we kind of touched upon it last week, today we start a little different path. And that's what John does in the middle three chapters of this book, chapters 2, 3, and 4. He starts talking about our love for the brother, our brothers, our sisters, each other. This is about us getting along. This is about us caring for each other. And so we'll be in these two or three chapters, obviously probably quite a long time unless I push it along. But I'm going to start off by reading chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. If you're there, say amen. Amen. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandment. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, one of the most terrible things that could happen to any church family is for people to get out of sorts with each other. Christians, children of God, getting upset with each other to the point where there is division in the church. We've all been around a few years. We've known of churches that are split. Oh, man, entire denominations have split. Christian colleges have split, and we could go on and on and on. The Apostle John deals with this utmost important principle that you and I should love each other. You and I should be getting along. This is not an option. The way John lays it out, we find that it's no option. Now, what I want to do is, we had a few people not with us last week, so and we didn't get to finish part 4 of the handout. So what I'm going to do is just read through part 4 of the handout, and then I'll stop where we stopped and then jump back into the lesson. But I want to do that for the benefit of those who weren't here, and also if you were here and you didn't, catch a certain fill-in on words, you can get that now. So this is the top of the part four handout. First of all, we started with verse number 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Okay? First of all, this verse has nothing to do with the eternal security of the believer. John is talking about what we know in our own lives. Okay? Now, what we're going to find out, I don't need to be on this rabbit trail, but you need to know this, okay? What we're going to find out is in chapters 2, 3, and 4, as he talks about us loving each other, the emphasis on is what we know in our own lives, having the assurance that we are in the right place, that our heart is in the right place. Just keep that in mind. Okay, back to the handout. John is talking about us personally having assurance that we are a child of God. It is about us knowing for ourselves that we are part of the family of God. Generally speaking, if we live our lives with no desire to be obedient to his commandments, then we need to examine ourselves, as the Apostle Paul said, to make sure that we are a child of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." If we keep his commandments, that phrase that's used there does not refer to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given to a nation, and on these commandments, every civilized nation has based its laws. The Ten Commandments are for the unsaved. Now God has something for his own family, and they are commandments for his children. These are the commandments that Christ gave when he walked for 3.5 years, teaching and discipling new believers. He gave many tenets of the faith, principles which would grow the believer in him. The Word of God helps us to grow and mature in the Scriptures. 21 of those commandments are mentioned in the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians. These are some of the commandments which the Lord Jesus has given to believers, and if we are to have fellowship with the Father and enjoy it by having assurance in our own hearts, we must keep his commandments. We do not feel that we are free to do as we please. The Christian doesn't do as he pleases. He does as Christ pleases, because he wants to please his Father. And hereby we do know that we know him is a phrase, and it means that we are talking about what we know ourselves to be true. Although a great many people believe in the security of the believer, they don't have the assurance of salvation, and the reason is obvious. We cannot know that we are children of God if we are disobedient to him, and we never want to do anything to change that disobedience. Obedience to Christ is essential and is the very basis of assurance. You cannot have that deep, down in your heart assurance unless you have a desire to keep his commandments. He that saith, "I know him," and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him, John says in verse number 4 of chapter 2. And this is the fourth time in the last 9 verses from verse 4 that John used the idea of lying or deception. John doesn't mince words here. He doesn't sugarcoat it and say you're living wrong, you're thinking wrong. No, he says we're a liar if we're not obeying the commandments and the words of Christ. Important. This is in the present tense. What are we continuing to do? Let's take a minute to revisit 1 John 2:1, when John says, "These things write I unto you that you sin not." The important thing to remember is that the words "that ye sin not" mean that you may not sin or that you may not continue to sin. It should be an ongoing desire in our Christian life to not continue sinning without any desire to not sin. Quite a little tongue twister there. If we continue on sinning and we don't have an innate desire to please the Lord and to stop the sin that separates us from the Father, then we're living a lie, according to John. It is one thing to say you are a child of God, and it is another thing to be a possessor of eternal life, to have a new nature that cries out to the Father for fellowship and wants to obey Him. John is making it very clear that we know Him because we keep His commandments. While it is true that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, it corroborates his faith when in his heart he knows that he wants to do God's will. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. That's verse number 5. There is a difference between the word of God and the commandments of God. There are commandments in the word of God, but the word of God is not only just commandments. The word of God is the expression of the will of God, either by the commandment or otherwise. In the word of God, you have his complete revelation to us about his will for our lives. We read a couple of verses in John 14. In verse 15, the Lord made this statement, "If you love me, keep my commandments." 8 verses later, in verse 23, he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now, what is the distinction here? And this is where we quit last week. I gave you the story about my son who many, many years ago did what he was told to do, but he went beyond and above that because he knew what my wishes were. And I don't have time to go over that story. But in just this way, and this is on page 3 of your handout at the very bottom, in just this way, a child of God not only wants to obey the commandments of God, but he also wants to obey the word of God. He wants to please his Father in everything that he does. I want to get on a rabbit trail for just a moment. I think it's important for us to, you know, we've been around a long time, haven't we? Let's just say we have, everybody here, okay? So I get into these 5 chapters and I read what it is to be a child of God, to have a desire, that I should have a desire to please the Father. I should have a desire to love you and get along with you. And yet we see from the past hundreds of years the insight that we see from looking backward in history, how we have evolved. Christian culture has evolved to, I don't know, a million different religions, I'm sure it's probably not a million, it's a lot. And yet in the scriptures, love for each other and love for the Father is paramount. And I can't help but think that if people over the past, Christians over the past hundreds of years, had really desired to please the Father and to do his desires and to do his will and to do his commandments, we would not have split. We wouldn't. And that's just, you know, we're human beings and we get crossways with each other and sometimes we misunderstand each other and we flat out don't like each other, and we're going to address that. That's in here too. But it's paramount that we understand that it is the will of the Father that we love our brother. Very, very, very important. There are a great many people who want to live like they want to live, or live like the unsaved as much as possible and still be Christians. At the top of your handout, page number 4, it says, "Sometimes we wonder if a Christian could do this or that and still be a Christian. But that really isn't the right question to be asking. The right question to ask is this: what can I do to please my Heavenly Father? Now, I'm from a fundamentalist family, and I know a lot of you guys are too. And the one thing fundamentalists were real good at, Brother Stacy, is rules. Okay, and we've Brother Chris is the reason I've loved being here for 22 years now is the fact that Brother Chris has a very balanced approach to the Word of God. And the fact of the matter is, Brother Albert, some of the rules we've heard for the past 40 years had no business being rules. Now, if I want to make them, you know how this goes. We've been through the book of Romans. If I need that rule in my own life, then Paul says I definitely should have that rule. If that rule helps me in my personal efforts to be faithful to the Lord, then I should abide by that rule. But if it's not in black and white, if it's in a gray area, I got no business making my rule something that you should have to do. And so we fundamentalists have been real good about making our own little rules your rules, you know. And so we see how important it is that whatever that has to do, whatever has come into our life and we decide whether or not we're going to do, it should be governed by this right here. Will my Father be pleased by his Son doing this thing? If I do this thing, will it cause harm to my life as a child of God? If I do this thing, will it bring harm to my family? That's what's most important, is not obeying and not checking off a list of rules that we are so good at checking off. And I'm the best. I mean, I love to check off a list. But really, the driving factor should be, as a child of God, I want to please him. That's in your handout. It says, you see, a genuine child of God wants to please him. He does not try to live right on the edge of the Christian life. So often, it's not about being right or wrong. You know, my kids, you know, when they were at home, they would say, well, should a Christian do this, or should I do this, or should I wear this? Well, you know, I tell you what, the better question is, will this please your Father? Not this earthly Father, will this please your Heavenly Father? We should want to do the thing that will please him, as your handout says, bring joy to his heart and fellowship and joy to my own life. All of this, you see, is on the basis of love. Not because of requirement, but because of love. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he says elsewhere, and if a man love me, he will keep my words. You see, this is important. If you love him, you will do more than just keep his commandments. You'll do something extra for him. That's really a good way to think about this. You'll go beyond. Well, Lord, I think after reading the scriptures, I could do this, but because I don't want any chance of displeasing you, I'm not going to do this. That's what it's all about. It's easy for us to be thinking only about the sins that we commit, but what about the things that we should be doing and we're not doing? We just got out of the book of James, and one of the verses we saw was James 4:17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, that's I'm in that spot a lot. I should be doing this thing, but I'm not. According to James, that's a sin in my life. The Bible makes no distinction between the seriousness of sins of commission, which are things you do, and sins of omission, the things that you don't do. They're equally bad. Your handout continues. 1 John 2:5. Is very important. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. I've got brackets around those next words. The definition of perfected is it's realized in practice. If I keep God's word, if I obey his word, the love of God is realized in practice in my life. Hereby, by this, know that we are in him. When the love of God is perfected in you, it means that you have passed the commandments and you just want to please God. The way Landon did everything that he was told to do that day, in my personal example, my story, did everything that he was supposed to do, but knew what my wishes were, and he did that too. That's the way we should be to our Heavenly Father. Your handout continues. I suggest that we take an inventory of ourselves. What is your attitude towards sin? Does it trouble you? Does it break your fellowship with the Father? Does it cause you to cry out in the night, "Oh God, I'm wrong, and I want to confess the wrong I have done. I want fellowship with you." On that basis, God will restore fellowship with us, and the assurance of salvation comes to our hearts. Now we go to handout part number 5. I hate that it did not work out to where we could finish one week, but that's just the way it goes. I'm sure we'll come across that more times in the study of 1 John. Okay, so as Brother Chris says, and as you know, David is told us many times as well, we have these commentaries and we find so much education in these and instruction in these, and these are men who have studied the Word of God, but I found this story in one of them. I can't remember which one, but I liked it so much I put it in your handout, okay? It's at the very top. It is said of Spurgeon, now that's Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He had the first mega church before mega churches were a thing. He had a Baptist church in London, I believe, London, England, 20,000 people. Okay, this is in the 1800s. He's called the Prince of Preachers. Okay, that's enough of that. It is said of Spurgeon that when he was crossing a street one day, he suddenly stopped. It looked like he was praying, and he was. One of his deacons waited for him on the other side of the street and said to him, "You could have been run down by a carriage." This was before the day of the automobile. "What were you doing? It looked like you were praying." Spurgeon replied, "I was praying." The deacon then asked, "What is so important? Was it so important?" "Indeed it was," he said. "A cloud came between me and my Savior, and I wanted to remove it even before I got across the street." That's wanting to please the Father. That's quite a story. So we start in verse number 6 for the next 10 minutes. Verse number 6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Well, how did Christ walk? That's the "he" that's talking about. Take your Bible and go over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll see how he walked, how Jesus Christ walked. John chapter 8, verse 28 is where we'll start. John 8, 28 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that," what? "Please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus desired to please his Father. Jesus desired to speak words that were given to him from his Father. Jesus desired to obey his Father's words and continue in them. So when we get to 1 John and we see in verse 6 that he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked, even as Christ walked, it means that we're obedient to our Lord. It means that we have a desire to please our Heavenly Father. And as your handout says, we cannot do or be all that the Lord Jesus Christ did or was. But if we set our hearts on doing our Father's will, which was the thing that the Lord Jesus put uppermost in his life, then we are walking as, in the same manner as, he walked. You know, we hear a lot about commitment these days, don't we, when we hear preaching? Will you commit your life to the Lord? Will you commit this? And we hear it after invitations. What do they mean by that? I mean, we know what they mean. But let me tell you what John means by commitment. Okay, this would be John's definition of commitment. It's to love Christ. And if you love Christ, you're going to keep his word. You can't help it. That's the desire of commitment. Your handout says you want to please the person you love. You don't want to offend. You want to please. Valerie and I just in January celebrated our 36 years of marriage. And I have a desire to please my wife. I like to do the things that bring her joy. 36 years of trying to buy the right piece of jewelry, and I have never bought it. But would you believe that? I'll figure it out one day, though. We want to please those that we love. Verse number 7 says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. So what beginning? Once again, we did this in chapter 1. Let's do it again. The beginning that John is talking about is the time since the incarnation of Christ, since Christ became a man. Your handout says, an old commandment which you had from the beginning. From what beginning? Well, the beginning in 1 John is the incarnation of Christ. You know, it began in Bethlehem, worked itself as Jesus worked in a carpenter shop, had 3.5 years of public ministry. The commandment which you had from the beginning was what the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples when he was with them on this earth, which he repeated many, many times. What was the new commandment? Well, in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we read, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And then in John chapter 15, verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So we spent an entire chapter seeing how important it is to love our Heavenly Father, have a desire to please him, have a desire to do things which show that we are abiding in him, having a desire to be approved of him. One chapter about that. Really, one chapter through chapter 2, verse 2. Just a couple of verses, okay? Now we're going to spend 3 chapters on the necessity of me and Georgina getting along with each other, of me and Jerry loving each other as a brother. Don't you think this might be pretty important? In John's mind, I think it might be. I'm out of time, but one thing that we're going to see here next week, I was hoping we could get to this. One thing that we're going to see is as we have a desire to please the Father, and as we get into the Word, as we learn more of the Word, as we are touched more by the Word, meaning we allow God's word to touch us in how we think, touch us in our decision making, what we find is that as we grow with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son, grew in his Father as well, we're going to find that our growing in our faith, our learning the Word of God, being affected by the Word of God, makes it sweeter and sweeter for our Christian lives day by day. If you've been saved 40 years, I hope that's your story. I hope that your Heavenly Father, your journey in the family of God has become sweeter and sweeter. We sing that song, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." I remember learning that song probably when I was 4 or 5 years old. And now that I'm 58, I can tell you, the journey is much sweeter now. Sweeter all the time. Another one David sings around here all the time, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." I hope that's been your experience. It's a sweet one if it is. Well, it's time to go. Brother Stacy, would you dismiss us, please, sir?